We're going to move now to our Let's Talk segment with Marie. Welcome to the studio, Marie.
Morning, Aaron. Tamaria firing it off.
You're going to spend more time on the air today than I am.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm doing a double whammy.
You did a double whammy. Marie's got a show at midday.
Yeah. Fake Matters.
But we're also talking about going up to the opening of the water tower, the blessing of the water tower, which is happening at 11:30 today.
Yeah.
Our councillor Lisa's going to be there on the barbecue, she says. Sean Ellison's doing the karakia.
Nice. Nice.
And are you liking the tower? It's finished now. I just biked past this morning.
Yeah,
it's looking pretty smooth.
Yeah, it's a bit of a Christmas present for us, I think.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's a really good it's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it does lift up our community. That tower is the first thing we kind of see when we come into Whangarei. So to have it, you know, looking the way it does and a representation of us and our ocean and, yeah, the things that are around Whangarei that we engage with every day, really, even though if we don't see them, they're in the water, but they're in, you know, that's part of our environment.
You can feel the vibes.
Feel the vibes.
Even if you can't see the sea, you know you're near it.
Yeah, so I think it's quite uplifting and anything like that. I mean, I've always enjoyed artwork around Raglan that's been allowed to happen, not graffiti. I'm not into graffiti, but I am into the idea of well presented graffiti.
Have you had a check out the skate bowl lately around there?
No, I haven't.
I haven't been there for a while because my kids don't skate anymore. But I was down there the other day looking around.
Okay, so what's happened down there?
Oh, it's just there's lots of graffiti style artwork.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Okay, so there we go.
It's not like just tagging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I mean, at the school too, they have murals, and I think that's just part of who we are. Often you can go, you know, I mean, you go over to, is it Metameta or somewhere in their community, I can't remember which one it is, and they've got artwork, you know, and around on the shops.
Cutty.
Yeah, I don't know, but there's a few little communities.
Over the Bay of Plenty, Northern Bay of Plenty, I remember there's murals there.
Yeah, which I mean, as soon as you drive in there, it kind of creates a sense of, oh, what's going on here, or this community is active, or it's alive. And so I think that's what this mural does for us too. It's a representation of us, and it's we're alive and active and, you know, a vibrant community.
Yeah, and if you've been driving past and enjoying it, you should go for a walk around it.
Yeah, definitely.
It is the full 360. The last one ran aground a little bit, and there was a patch around the back that never got fully done.
Yeah, which was frustrating as. But you couldn't see it unless you walked around it.
There is a story behind that, but we're not.
Do you want to hear it?
No.
Come on.
No, because the
we're not going there.
I think the artists got a little bit out of hand back in the day. So
I remember too, right?
All sorts of things were going on that weren't commissioned and stuff, so. Yeah,
free license right there.
Yeah, I mean it's part of that Raglan character, what things used to be like here. But apparently,
absolutely,
the one that we know was not the first piece of art. In 1988, there was an Italian architect who lived here who painted it.
Oh, really?
Because up until that point, it had just was painted white.
Right.
Yeah.
Typical water tower.
Well, better than grey, I guess. Raw concrete.
Yeah, and but so yeah. What did he put on it?
Water tower white. Because I just interviewed Jacqueline about this yesterday. I don't remember what she said. Just
things.
It's just things. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Local things, man.
Well, there you go. It's had three makeovers.
Yeah, this is the third one.
So let's hope for the blessing on today's one that it stays and.
Yeah, I mean it's been a long time. It's been 25, at least 25 years since the last one. So yeah, and it gets to the point where you can't maintain it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Which is the point they were at.
So Sean's up there, Matua. Sean, our kaumatua, is up there at 11:30 doing a blessing. So I guess we can encourage people to go up. I think that's a great thing to involve yourself with. Again, it's about bringing community together and in agreement about something. That's what a blessing's all about, is being in agreement that this is right for our community and we tātoko that. I've said it wrong, but it doesn't matter. We come alongside that, you know. I think it's good that community gets out and supports that in karakia and blessing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm not going to correct your Māori.
Thank
that
you.
That would be stupid for
no,
me
well,
to try.
I don't even know. You know, I do my best. That's all we can ever do.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, like, it's interesting. It's nice that you say it's a, what's a nice idea that it's a Christmas present for the community.
Yeah, I don't know if
the timing, I guess the timing just worked out.
Yeah, but let's just claim it.
Yeah.
And because I think those sort of things, like I say, lift us up. Colour, visuals that give us a sense of home or a kind of like an anchor. Like, as soon as you see it, you know you're home. And that's what it'll be for some of our young people who are just seeing it for the first time.
And it is very visible. And I want to shout out to Theo too, the artist, Theo Araj. He's worked himself into the ground.
Trying
to get it done on time a little bit.
Oh, bless him. Many blessings to him.
Yeah.
I hope he'll be up there today.
He should be, he's not. No, he's good. He's just tired.
I bet
he
is.
I was talking to him yesterday. But he's done a fantastic job.
Yeah, and we need to support him in that too, because often when we do something big, you know, there is the come down afterwards from that. You know, it's a bit like you when you did your Extreme Waste movie, and you put heaps into that.
I was pretty tired at the end of that.
You were very tired. Washed out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't recognise how much goes into something. It's not just our physical self we put in, it's our emotional self too, and it's that part that we need to take care of afterwards.
I definitely felt like, because it was about the community, it was about Extreme, but it was about the community, and you feel not an obligation, but you just want to do the best you can.
You feel
that, and that was the best I could do at that time.
Well, you carry the weight of it, and you do, and nobody recognises or understands what that is until they've actually done it themselves. And it can absolutely burn you out. So, yes, we need to be looking after this young guy who's put so much of himself into what he's done, into his mahi. He's invested what he's given. And so, yeah, uplifting him, making sure that we connect with him and keep reminding him how much we enjoy what he's done. Because it can be a fleeting moment, Aaron, and we can do the yahoo and it's all over with, but actually the person who carries what they've done sticks with them for a long time. So we do need to check in with people and make sure they're okay.
He's been getting, people going past have been giving him big ups.
Yeah, well, keep doing it. Don't stop.
And I'm going to interview him probably in the new year.
Great.
Probably end of January, start of February when I come back on the air.
Yeah.
I'll be having a convo with him about that. Why did I don't say convo? We're doing an interview.
So, well, you never know. His skill set might come out in different areas in our community where there are spaces that we could actually fill with some amazing artwork. And I think it brings out our artists too. We've got incredible artists in Raglan. And, you know, as far as our mind health goes, artwork is so healthy for us, and it's an expression of who we are and... Yeah, what's going on inside?
I'll try to find out what other art is normally like. Like, he doesn't always get big water towers to paint. But I was thinking about Raglan Arts Weekend next year. He should just set up a stall there beside the water tower.
Yeah. He could sell little water towers. He could just do little ones. He could take them home with
you. Yeah, just go to the...
There's a good one.
Go to the hardware store, get like one of those round fence posts.
And paint it.
A round fence post, yeah, like... Cut it into slices.
And there's a little tourist tree. Okay, there we
go.
I know it would. So, little shh.
That would move some units. That would. Yeah.
So, everyone's going to pick that one up.
He's the only one allowed to do it, though, because it's his design.
Well, yeah. He could even sign it, and there you go. He'd be making a little profit for himself. Maybe he needs to do that out of all of us.
I mean, some artists might find that a little demeaning to be reduced to that, but maybe they could,
I don't know.
They could, like, outsource the work.
Absolutely.
That's a good idea, though.
I know.
Yeah.
It's how my brain works, Aaron, bit of an entrepreneur, but it pops out, so there you go.
I thought that was my idea.
Oh, was it? Oh, let's share it.
Yeah.
Do you want to argue online?
On the air.
On the air.
It's not that kind of show.
Oh, come on.
No, it was...
it's Christmas.
It was a conversation idea, wasn't it? It's one of those conversation ideas.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one idea.
You did say
so I did get some
small
of it?
Water towers. Oh, you're the one who specifically
Thank
said small
you.
Water towers.
Yes.
I was just like, my idea was to be there for the Raglan Arts Weekend. All right.
There you go. Together, we're a team, Aaron. We could be, you know, entrepreneurial.
So you may not be able to tell at this point, but we bring Marie in because she's a local counsellor therapist, and we talk about issues.
Some tissues for your issues. You know, I first heard that and saw that on somebody's tissue box. They'd written it on their tissue box, some tissues for your
tissues
issues.
For your issues. Do you write that when you're doing a counselling session?
No.
Do you have the tissues for your issues
no,
box?
No, no, definitely not. But I've always liked the saying.
Right, you're not telling people. That would be telling your clients that they are going to come and cry about something.
No, I just like the saying, and it's Christmas, and I just felt like putting that out there, Aaron. You could write it on your own tissue. Here's some tissues for your issues. I'm right with you. You got a tissue box?
Yeah, we got a tissue box.
I'm going to write on that.
You'll
some
do that. We'll do that
issues.
After the interview.
There we go. Merry Christmas.
All right, that's two good ideas we've had this morning. What else we got?
I don't know. Look after yourself over Christmas. This is the time everyone starts to wind down. But I do want to
wind down and wind up, though.
And wind up, yes. Yeah. And so I did want to remind people that, remember, when we've been working all year and we come to the holidays, often we can become unwell when we hit the holidays. And that's because we've been, you know, working all year, and then we know we're going to get a rest, so the body kind of goes,
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we get unwell. So just, you know, be kind and gentle to yourself as you move into the holidays. Remember to take care of yourself. Check in with your thinking. How is it? Don't get caught in stinking thinking. If you are, then change it.
Tell us what's stinking thinking.
Well, negative, like, you know, all the things you can't do.
So,
you know?
So telling yourself off.
Yeah,
or
pretty much.
Putting yourself down.
Well, especially this time of the year, because we feel the pressure of having to perform or having to...
I don't put the cup down.
Yep, having to buy that gift that somebody wants, and we feel the pressure of that. So, you know, our thinking can get to the point where we just start beating ourselves up for all the things we can't do. Well, remind yourself of the things you can do, and that even the presence of you is a gift. Yeah, just having you present at a family gathering, or just having you with other family members, is a gift in itself. So don't forget how important you are when you interact with your family members around Christmas. You don't have to have something to give, because you are enough, really. Just your conversations and your stories and your relating and being connected again is a wonderful thing to have.
Yeah. Is that a free pass to not buy presents?
Oh, that's a bit gnarly, isn't it?
It's a provocative question.
Well, I tell you what, it's the pressure we feel of having to give the gift, isn't it? And what is a gift? And does anyone ever get the real gift? You know, are we ever really satisfied with what we get? We just keep opening the next one. And hopefully that's the one that I wanted, you know, and we just keep opening these gifts. And, I mean, it's a wonderful feeling, there's no doubt about it, to receive a gift. But we've got to look at what is a gift, because it's a monetary value. And there's people that are getting a lot of our money when we're giving a gift. You know what I mean? It's kind of like somebody is winning out of this, and it's often not the receiver. It's the person who's you've brought the gift off is getting.
Oh, is the winner.
Yeah, is the winner.
Or buy local in that case. So well, at least it's locals winning.
Or make something yourself.
Okay.
Go
into
nature, go and have a look around. I mean, gosh, we've got so much flax out there. Make a flax flower. It's incredible. A beautiful gift to give. There's incredible gifts you can make with flax.
Now you're going to get 20 flax flowers.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I've got flax flowers. I've had them anyway. So if you get bored of that, you could dye them too.
Are you hard to buy for? The woman who doesn't value material stuff?
Yeah, gifts have never been my big, you know, thing, Aaron. I'm not, I mean, I love to receive a gift, but I actually would prefer to receive a hug and somebody's presence and their who they are, that they want to actually be with me. So that's and share time is a lovely thing. A gift is great, but I'll probably put it on the shelf. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to... Yeah, unless I'm wearing it, it's something that's a ring and I'm not cheap to buy for, so it's probably pointless, because if you take me into a ring shop, Aaron, I'm going to go for the most expensive.
Oh, really?
Even if I don't mean to, it's just who I am, I will pick out them. So it's pointless. I've given up on those things a long time ago.
PJ knows not to take you anywhere near a jewellery shop.
I'm not actually, it doesn't really bother me. I mean, I wear a a beautiful ring on my finger now. I'm going to be honest with everyone, and you're going to hear something here. I wear a beautiful ring, right? And everyone thinks it's a diamond because it looks like one. It's a zirconia, right? Zirconia is a poor man's diamond. You don't have to get the real thing to actually.
No, that's a seriously large rock. If that was a diamond, you'd want a security person walking with you everywhere you went.
I tell you how many people think that it is, or just love the bling, you know, because we're not really going to go up to a piece of glass and see if the diamond works, you know. We're not going to say, hey, is that real? You go and scratch that grass glass, because a real diamond will scratch the glass.
Do people notice? Because I hadn't noticed, really. I hadn't.
Now you know it's there.
Yeah, I know we're usually here and we're talking about other things. That's the focus. But
yep. I like bling bling.
Other people must notice.
Yes, some people do. I know women will notice because that's the thing, isn't it? Who's got the biggest diamond? But that's never been...
That's what Raglan's all about.
It's never been my thing because I used to do jewellery, Aaron. I used to actually make jewellery in my teenage years, and I worked with diamonds and sapphires and rubies and all of them, gold. So I did soldering and I even did casting. And so I know the value of these things ultimately. And little chips and little bits of stone don't really interest me because I know the real the real thing is in the real thing. And so, yeah, a lot of trickery, I think, when we come to jewellery and what we think is expensive. Sorry, it probably bursts a lot of bubbles out there, but it doesn't really matter. Because what I'm trying to say, at the end of the day, if you look at something and, like, what I wear... I was actually given it, and I wear it on my wedding finger. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me.
It's not a wedding ring or an engagement ring.
No, I just love bling, and I love the way it looks. But people that's all that matters to me.
People are going to be impressed with PJ by you wearing that on
They often think, where did you... Nah, surely not.
Not
it's
PJ.
It's worth more than your house. But there you go.
You got it at the recycle centre.
I probably did. No, I didn't. I got it from a friend who got it from somebody overseas. So it actually could be worth something, and I don't even know, Aaron. I don't even care. So there you go. It's sometimes about what brings you joy. Like if what you love looking at and it's a cheap version of the real thing, don't worry about it. It's okay. You're allowed to enjoy it.
It's not like it's plastic and it's lost its sheen or anything like that. Like it's not that kind of thing.
This is a poor man's diamond, Aaron. So it's the closest thing you'll ever get to a diamond. It's what most people have probably got in their rings, and they don't even realise it anyway. Ouch!
But this is this does remind me of something that I was thinking about yesterday, which is in Raglan we don't value those ostentatious displays of wealth.
Mm.
And I'm trying to work out how to talk about this without being specific. Someone designing a building for this town, and I think people from out of town thought, well, it can't be ostentatious because Raglan's not ostentatious, but we're just not ostentatious in the way that other parts of the world are.
Showy, you mean?
Yeah, like, well, we're showy about some things. Mm. We're not showy about wealth.
No.
In fact, we have to show that we are not showy about wealth, right? That's a reverse thing, I realised. But we are showy about artistic and environmental stuff.
Yes, we are.
We like to name drop the environment.
Absolutely.
And things like that. Yeah, or you know,
Maui Dolphin Day. I got this thing.
It's so good for the environment.
So we do
show off, but we're showing off different things.
Isn't that wonderful? I think that's something to celebrate. Again, just like we need to. Well, it's healthy to celebrate what's happening up at the water tower. These things that represent.
That's a showy thing in a showy place.
Mm.
So getting the Raglan values incorporated was important because if we made it showy, like what Cambridge might do for their water tower, which I was going to say probably some colonial imagery, I don't know. But then I'm like, people from Cambridge would be like, hey. What are you saying? But, you know, like...
we need to be careful.
That might have been a thing. Hopefully no one from Cambridge is here right now.
It's a beautiful place, Cambridge. It's a
beautiful town.
It is.
Yes.
Very pretty.
But yeah, like in a place like that, you are showing... Mm. You're going to be showing something.
Yeah.
So well, what are you showing?
Exactly, in the representation of what you're wanting outsiders to see and get a taste of who you are. And I think here in Raglan, it's just beautiful. We've got so much to celebrate here. We should have a Whangaroa Celebration Day where we actually come out in community and just celebrate community, celebrate the things that we do.
Isn't that what Maui Dolphin Day is?
Yeah, but it's not called Whangaroa Celebration Day, is it, Aaron? It's called Maui Dolphin Day. I mean, yeah,
but it's become that thing.
We could come alongside it more like that. Yeah.
It is effectively because people have voted for it. Like 1,000 people turn up to it, and have a potential population of about 6,000. Well, in fact, it's been 1,000 people for a long time. Potential population of 5,000. 1,000 people turn up.
Yeah.
If that happened in Auckland, they'd have a civil defence emergency.
They have to get the squad out, you think?
Well, they have to get the army out to manage it. Like, that's how many people it would be. So, that was just a thing that I was dwelling on. But I often think about that, like, what are the things that matter to Raglan? Because I'm always interviewing people who are running for local body politics, and every time the community wants to make a decision about something, like when the bridge was replaced 10 or 12 years ago, people just, we know we don't want to be like other places, and we know we've got stuff that we think is pretty magic and we want to keep it.
Yeah.
So the tendency is to want to suppress change
to
keep what we've got, but the change is going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
So it's far more important to know what we've got and understand it and understand what the values are.
Well done. And, well put.
And then so when the change happens, we make sure it fits with that.
Yeah.
But I've been struggling for years to kind of pin down what those are. Last night I was actually thinking I should get Stephanie Philp to do a values elicitation for the whole community, because that's her job. Part of her job, that's what she does.
Yeah.
But, because and next year when there's another election, I'll be asking the aspiring local body politicians, what are the Raglan values?
I actually think you've hit something on the head there, actually, Aaron. I think it's important that I'm rapt that you're doing that, because you can hear something like that and not really understand what is underneath that and what are our values. You know, I think that is a great place to start, because if we can nail our values here and now, then in the generations to come we won't lose what Whangaroa is, because in 10, 20 years it's not going to look the same as it is now. So if we don't know what our values are, we don't know what to hold on to and make sure it stays in community, you know, and is seen in community, so that the flavour is never lost. Otherwise, you're right, we could roll over into something that looks more like Mount Maunganui and into that environment.
That's the big fear.
Yeah, and we might as well name it. It doesn't matter. It's not a, it's, you know, we are a seaside resort. And Raglan
was not a resort, though.
No, I know, but Raglan's never been seen like that. But in the future, it's going to be seen like that, and we can't get away from it. So if we don't know what our values are, we'll lose them as we transcend, you know, onwards. As we move onwards, we lose the values, because other people, you know, people die off and the old people move on, and then we've lost that actual core. So I encourage you to keep pushing. I agree that we should be getting together as a community. What are our values? A bit like the Treaty of Waitangi, you know what I mean? Like, there was a coming together, and we needed to work this so we don't lose anything. You know, if David Seymour would just keep his hands off it all. But there you go. Now we are where we are, and we have to deal with it. Maybe it's not a bad thing.
Well, it's brought stuff into focus.
Yeah, I don't think, look, I think we need to talk about things. It's just that I don't like the undercurrents of how he did it, and it caused discord, and he knew that it would. And I think that he could have presented this in a better way, where we could have gone, okay, we can talk about this stuff, and we do need to talk about it. It's a good thing. But I think there are undercurrents that there's more to it than what he's...
It's clear that he benefits from division.
Discord.
As a politician, he benefits from that. But
he's not bothered by it.
But we're discovering that more and more the division is not down the middle of the country anymore, and it's not between Pakeha and Māori.
No.
It's really clear. It's now between some Pakeha and most Pakeha and Māori, I think.
Well, these are about our values, Aaron,
but
he's pushing on our values, and so I guess it is a wonderful thing that we if anything comes out of the pops out of this, is that we are stronger in our values and that they're not lost in the future generations to come, you know?
I mean, he's also pushing on people's fears, which is the only thing, and that's when people will abandon their values.
When they're fearful? Fear needs an ear to hear. I don't even know if that makes sense, but it's just something I've always said.
Yeah.
Fear needs an ear to hear. Those are my words, I might just say.
Oh, well done. Fantastic.
Thank you. What does it mean?
Yeah, what does it mean?
It means, well, just think about it. Fear needs an ear. You need to be listening. If you want to be overtaken by fear, then keep listening to the lies. But it's up to us to go, well, actually, I don't need to listen to that because all that is filling me up with is fear. But what do I know about the truth? And so if you tell yourself the truth and walk in the truth, then fear has no power over you because you are standing in truth, you know. And so you can come alongside that and not be overtaken by fear, because at the beginning of all of this, even I was, I guess, fearful of what David Seymour was doing. And I was upset with what he was, just the discord I was hearing around me. But now down the track, I'm going, okay, part of this is okay. I think discussion is a good thing, and we probably do need to get down and have a really good talk about all these things. But I don't like that there is more underhanded stuff going on there with him, which is unfortunate. So if we can move away from, you know, maybe his... what he's wanting to get out of it, which we don't need to know about, and just stick with the conversation. Let's have the conversation.
Well, I liked what the leaders of the Hikoi did. Like, they're a fantastic new generation of leaders, and they were very clear. They were not going to come from that place of fear. They were this is
not listening.
An inclusive event. Everyone come to the Hikoi. That's why they got some estimate. I'm sitting on an estimate of about 85,000 people. Now, I've seen all the different estimates out there. I'd say that with that many people involved. But yeah, and they were very, and they were like, we're not going to come and be angry. We're not going to operate out of that base of fear. Basically the way they did it. And that is the counter to it what is. those type of politicians are doing, because it's very, very well established now amongst political strategists that if you can produce a fear response in people, then they will be highly motivating to get them out to vote and support you. And so, and I guess this new generation of young Māori leaders have worked that out. They know that too, and they from their actions, I would say, they know that.
I
haven't seen them talk in great detail about what went on behind the scenes while they were working out how they were going to do it, but the way they were operating was clearly to be inclusive and not angry and not operating out of fear.
Yeah, I think whenever somebody causes a disruption, there can be good that comes out of it too. So I'm looking for what is going to bring us together more as a nation or as a community. So yes, he's caused some fear, I guess, out there. But like I said, fear needs an ear to hear. So stop listening and move towards what you do believe in, what you know is the truth, with the truth.
It's a practical thing too, because you'll tell us as a counsellor, when someone's in a fear state, they've lost touch with the rational part of their brain. And it's not a good time to be making decisions, and we want to get back into that headspace.
Yeah, so the more you can move away from that, the more you're going to have a clearer thought. And wisdom steps in, and wisdom is a great thing. Wisdom will knock down fear anytime, because when you know something to be true, you know, you don't have to be afraid anymore. There's nothing to be afraid of. You've got to kind of water things down. When you are afraid of another person, water it down. Just realize that they do all the bodily functions that you do too, as we all do. Aaron's just closing up. No, you didn't say that, Marie. Yes, I did, because that's how I nail it a lot. When I come across people who feel that I'm overwhelmed by, I have to bring it back down to a human level. Like, these people just function the same way as I do. They're no different. We're no different. So there is nothing to fear. There's only a fear steps in when there's aggression. and somebody becomes fearful because, well, I'm going to get attacked now, and so we have to go into defend mode, you know, and feel like we have to protect ourselves.
You know, I've heard advice from people who talk. There was a guy who does a podcast called Uncomfortable Conversations, and like his advice for when, apparently this happens in some Christmas family gatherings where people with different political persuasions get into arguments, and his thing for people who are kind of on the left or supportive of Te Tiriti and honouring it is, and he wasn't specifically talking about that, he was talking about another issue, but the same thing applies, is ask the people who are against it, ask them, what is it you're afraid is going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, because they, you have to be, maybe that's been a little bit like a counsellor, but you kind of, until they can express that and feel like they've been heard.
Yeah.
Of course, our tendency is to want to shut them down because they're racist. But now that the politicians have triggered that fear, we've got to work with that.
Yeah, we do.
And there may be some things that they think are going to happen that are things that you should be fearful of.
Mm.
You know, and so you've got to get to the bottom of that if you've got the energy for it.
Yeah, it's there we go. And do we have the energy for it? Because a lot of us are just having enough energy to get to work and try and pay our bills. And now we've got this whole lot of other stuff that's causing disruption out there that, you know, do we have to go through this? I'm sure Aotearoa would much rather a calmer environment than what is being produced at the moment, because we actually don't need to live like this, and it doesn't have to be like this. It's just that the powers at the top are pulling the strings at the moment, and you know, but here we are.
Politics is always like this, because you get a collection of things. You fight for your team, and you have a collection of ideals and ideas and policies that go with that, and you're supposed to like them all and hate all the ones of the other side. And it's, if you could actually take the politics out of it and just go, okay, this is an issue, this thing here, what's the best way to solve it?
And oh, that's a kingdom though, Aaron. You need a king now. And
well, no, we can. There's no reason why we can't do. No, I tell you what, another way that works is citizens' decision making. What the heck is it called? So they get, instead of getting politicians, they get a random group of people together from the population.
Yeah, I think I know about this. Yeah.
And they give them some experts to give them the raw, the info, and then they get together and they make the decision. And they've trialed this in other countries, and it's really successful.
I have heard about this because they don't have,
first of all, they're not bought off by anyone. Yeah. They can't be bought off.
They're not invested as such. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, literally bought off, though, in some cases, at the very least by people who pay for their election campaigns.
Yeah.
And then ideologies and loyalties to all that other stuff that's taken away. It turns out that non-expert people make the best decisions.
Of course.
Because they're advised by experts, so the information's there, but because they're non-experts, it's kind of like they don't have a dog in the race.
Yeah,
in some ways.
It's like being on a jury, isn't
even
it?
Just
random people picked. There will be a baseline there of what they're looking for.
They try to get like a diverse group, I guess.
Yeah, they do.
It's not all identical. But
I actually think it's all one, because then you get the voice of the people, voice of community, voice of what the nation is about, all these different ideas. And wow, what a rich environment that is.
Because even experts they're human and they have their loyalties and things they've been taught to value on the way up, and you don't get to become a part of the establishment or a recognised individual most of the time in our country unless you're kind of loyal to the establishment to some degree.
Absolutely.
So it's a random collection of people, and it turns out they're in the best place to make decisions.
Oh, so how do we make this happen, Aaron? Because it sounds good to me.
Wouldn't that
be great?
19 minutes to do this, Marie. I can't even remember the name of it. We're not getting very far if we can't remember the name of it, eh?
Oh, no.
But it is a citizens' decision-making panel. We'll just call it that. Yeah.
Yeah, so those kind of ideas, I mean, fantastic, eh? But how they ever come into play, because the government loses power...
It's been talked about more and more, and what they'll do is they'll do it for a not so important thing and not make it binding for the first time they do it. and gradually build up confidence. It takes time. These things always take time. Like those of us who are always at the forefront of the new ideas and like new ideas and are comfortable with that are like, right, let's just start, just do it now. And the people who are conservative and which is just naturally
time.
Conservative, yeah, they want some time to be sure. And to be honest, we're better off as a group of people if the conservative and the people like the new stuff are balanced against each other, or not against, but you know,
that's about
within
community,
each other.
Yeah. Common unity. I mean, look, we don't have to be in agreement. We just need to find enough to come alongside each other where we're not ripping something apart or tearing something apart because we're not in agreement. You know, we don't. I mean, you and I don't agree on everything, Aaron, but we can still sit in the same room and still do what we're doing and still be friends. It doesn't matter. I hope we are. Are we friends?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good.
It's all right.
Just put it out there.
my face had gone all stony.
No, I'm not friends with you, Marie.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm a Christian and there's lots of people out there that aren't Christians or have a hold a different belief. Does that mean we can't be friends or can't find common ground of who we are? It's not a good way to live when we feel that everyone has to think and react the same as me or want the same as me. We'll never grow and expand like that. I mean, we're meant to come together. It's like the treaty. I mean, the two cultures don't mix. You know, they never did. I mean, the Pākehā is controlling as, and Māori are used to living in community. So, you know, you put those two mixtures together, they don't mix. But they wanted us to mix so
but
that we could work it out and we could come alongside.
At the time of the writing, though, it wasn't like that because there was just there was like a six-figure amount of Māori people in the country and a couple of thousand Pākehā who were like sailors and whalers and
yeah, but
and
if you
like
really
that,
understood
so,
the treaty
and, missionaries.
You know, and who was going over to England and who was talking to the king and who was making relationships back then. You know, and I don't remember their names, but they made relationships with the crown, and that is what the treaty was about. Not what the rubbish we're talking about, but the relationship that was made between Māori and the crown, and the crown got it. Like, they got it back then, but then you got the establishment that came on board, and the establishment made it into something else. And so we lost the relationship
that was built
from that treaty.
The lust for the land.
The lust for the... the L's. Lust for landy.
Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna get into it.
Yeah, because
history of this country, which we're not entirely experts on.
Well, we're not experts, but we know enough, and you don't have to be an expert. Because that's another thing that will shut people down is when people say, "Oh, but you're not an expert about that." Well, who is the expert? Because none of us are alive that were back then, so we can only go by the stories we know. And the treaty was all about relationship. That much we do know. And that's what we've got to hold on to. Whatever we come alongside, it is not about having to agree with everything. It's about what can I learn from you and what can you learn from me and what works together in this situation. It doesn't mean on the outside of that we don't hold our own values and opinions and still be who we are. So that's community. It's about a relationship. And, you know, the tower, you know, we'll round off and we'll come back to the water tower. You know, that was about community and bringing our relationship on a visual board for everyone to see who comes into this beautiful part of the country that we live in.
Yeah.
Aren't we lucky? And let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate. And I mean, I will always shout community, Aaron. I'm always, that's me. I always think everything is about the village mentality, coming together and being a part of something does not mean that we agree or even that we like each other, but that we can come alongside because it's beneficial and it works and it's actually healthy. Because everything outside of that is unhealthy and fearful and not a nice place to be. And we don't want to be in those places. We want to be where it's nourishing and, a good place to be.
And Jacqueline was telling us yesterday about how, like, they did a survey of the community. Do you want to redo the tower? Would it stay the same or something new? And there was an overwhelming support to do what was done. And so there was a lot of consultation with the community. There was a design panel. Like, Jacqueline was the manager, but she didn't decide. She didn't make the decision. There was a panel of people who were collected together representing different parts of the community.
So good. Do you even hear that? And we need to hear, because it didn't just happen. And it's the bones and the structure of something that give us an indication of how healthy a community is, because to me, that's had heaps of community input. So it shows a real heart there. Somebody hasn't just come along, picked this person, picked that person, and put them together and gone, okay, this is what you guys are doing, right? So that story that you just told is the richness of what that tower actually means to us. It's the story behind it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. All right, are we
done?
We're done. We're wrapping up. Okay. Well, I've got time for some more music. So,
play away.
I wasn't to get one organised. Often we go through right to the very end.
So, are we tuning out now? Are we coming back in, Aaron?
I don't know. If we think of something else we want to talk about.
Well, I haven't said goodbye yet.
Oh, I know. I'm just realizing I need a song. You can talk. You can start. Do your goodbye. And reminder that you're back on the air in a couple of hours. Will Swindon can't go there. I found
something.
A song. Yeah,
there we
I was
go.
Just
got it.
Yeah,
you're in.
But are you going to say goodbye now?
Oh yeah. So okay. So yeah. Okay. Let me clear my throat. Yes. Merry Christmas, Mehi Krehimas to you all, and may you be kind and gentle to yourself over the season, and kind and gentle to others as you meet them coming into Whangarei. Be joyful over this great place. We are very blessed to be here. Make sure you check in with each other and smile at people as you walk past. We're all part of community, doing life together. People are carrying stuff we never know what they're carrying, so a smile can go a long way for somebody who's not feeling so great. It includes them, so don't forget them. You are a wonderful community. Many blessings for you over this Christmas time and as we come to the end of this year.
All right, Marie, thank you for coming in today.
You're
and
welcome.
For all the days that you come in and
welcome.
Help me out with the morning show.